Sunday of the month. Thank God as we join on the first Sunday. We know this is our Freedom Sunday. Freedom Sunday for our time to discuss and to just dive into the Word of God together and discuss issues and topics. And as well as first Sunday, we always join together corporately to for our communion to just thank God for the sacrifice, to acknowledge and to just take time to give God, to celebrate God as we commune together and commune with Him, Lord God, taking up of the elements, Lord God, representing the broken body and broken and shed blood of Christ given for us on our behalf. So I thank God for today. I thank God. And once again, as always, it's an honor. This is our Freedom Sunday, and today we are discussing. I'm going to introduce, of course, our apostle who will follow up on our discussion. But today, my lovely wife, Minister Tabika, and I, Elder Mark, will have an opportunity to just discuss discipleship and what discipleship really means. But we are blessed to have the opportunity to discuss discipleship with you as our beloved and excited leader of this house, the shepherd of this house, the visionary of New Vision for Life Church, has given us the opportunity to lead in this capacity today. So I just want to take time to first celebrate her. So if you would just unmute your mics as we not only thank God for the day, we want to thank God for the woman of God that we have as our leader, our beloved and excited Apostle Etta Banks. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me. Just very quickly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another opportunity for us to come together and be full of expectation and what the Father is going to do even on this day. And just as I was listening to Elder Mark, that word expectation is what dropped in my spirit. And I have an excitement that's bubbling over in my belly this morning. And it has been doing so probably for about a week now. I got excited, you know, from our last service at the Garnes' home. It was such a blessing to be together and to fellowship with one another. Such a blessing, which made me have more expectation of the time when we get our building and we're able to come together and fellowship and invite people out and so forth. So there was an expectation. I'm looking at more and more property, and there's an expectation as I look at property. There's an excitement about it. Praise be unto God. There's an excitement always and being on this line with you, and excitement there. But I feel like something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. And as we go into this fast, praise be unto God, this 40-day fast, as we go into the fast, I ask you, please, 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 saints, don't just do this fast legalistically. Do not do it legalistically. Do it full of expectation. Do it expecting God to move on your behalf, behalf of your family, your friends, your neighbors, even your enemies. Do it with expectation. Do things with to the point of you're excited about the little things that God does. You're excited about the great big things that God does. And I'm telling you, when you have an excited expectation, you'd be surprised what you will be able to cause, how you will be able to cause things to manifest, because you're speaking them into existence and not speaking them out of disbelief, but you're speaking them in belief that this is going to happen. I loved it when that brother said on that song, if you said that, you know, this hasn't happened yet, you're prophesying, because the yet means it's coming. It's going to happen. If you're prophesying without the yet, then it's a testimony. Saints of God, what mood and what mode are we in today? A testimony or a prophecy? Either one of those are a good place to be. Praise be unto God. So I thank God. I'm turning it back over into the hands of the Garnes as they take us into our discussion about discipleship. God bless.
God bless. Thank you, beloved. Thank you
Yes.
so much. Well, good morning, everyone. And today will be our topic will be about discipleship. But remember that this is not just a one-way conversation. It's for all of us to be a part of. So just because someone else is leading doesn't mean that you can't answer questions or you can't say anything. So we're looking forward to hearing from you all. So don't be afraid to ask a question, or if it's something that you don't understand, like don't be afraid to say that you don't understand. Because we are all learning together. There's a lot of information in the Bible. And trust me, sometimes I don't understand, and I used to be embarrassed because I didn't understand. But I'm comfortable. This is family. So this is where we learn together. This is where we first do the what is it? The training. This is us together getting the training together to be able to go and evangelize or disciple others. So we gotta be comfortable in this atmosphere first, with one another, because again, we are to hold each other accountable. We talk to one another, we bounce information off of each other. It's a very good environment that we are in under New Vision for Life. So again, please answer the questions. Please speak up. Please, I definitely don't have all the answers. And so I'm gonna turn it over to Apostle, so I'm the first one. I don't have all the answers. So I'm learning just along, just with you guys as well. And Mark too. We're all learning together. So I'm gonna read Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and it's from the Great Commission. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. And it says, Jesus came up and said to them, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of age. So when we hear those verses of the scripture, what does discipleship mean to you? Just give it just the scripture. Just think about what I just read in the scripture, even if you have to go to the scripture and look at it for yourself. Because the answer is there. What does discipleship mean to you?
And could you tell us what the scripture was again,
It
please?
was Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody? Thank you, Apostle.
Amen.
I would say following God's word.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. That's a good one. Anybody else?
Amen. Teach. Going
Yes.
to the teach.
Yes. And what else? You said teaching. What else?
I said going to the nations and teach.
Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else?
Baptizing.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right. So anybody else have anything else to add? And thank you all that who've already answered. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Commitment.
Okay. You can use that
And
too.
the reason why I say that is, he said I will be there with you as you do it, day to day. I'm sorry, day after day after day, right up to the end of age.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you point out a few good things about discipleship.
at its core. And one of the things that we found in just the research for this and some of the articles that we looked at was, we're going to go through those in our discussion, but there's basically five things that you can look up that what discipleship means at its core. And loving God, obeying his commandment, the Great Commission is not a suggestion. It's not like, hey, well, just try this. It's a command that says, go out and to do this. Go out, teach in my name, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that others would come to know me. And that's, and he says, and as Minister Malkia said, God is saying, he's making a commitment to you. Not only is he giving a command, but in the Great Commission, he's making a commitment to you that you won't do this by yourself. And I think I'm going to ask a quick question. What do you think is a limitation when you're called to disciple? What do you think is a limitation for anybody? What is a reason you don't disciple or you don't evangelize or speak to people in the street that you're not maybe comfortable with?
Fear.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
Embarrassment.
Okay.
I would say not. It's the challenge when people challenge you, and debate. So when it turns into a challenge and a debate, it again with what Minister Malkia said, the fear, mm-hmm. but also it's sometimes it gets you in a place where it's like you feel like you're not well equipped to even answer or rebuttal to what they are saying. And so it's kind of like that's a setup from the enemy. Okay. We don't have to debate God's word because his word is his word and it can't be changed. So when somebody then wants to start debating things, you can gracefully bow out of that debate. You can say, I didn't come here to debate God's word because it is what it is. And we can clearly see that God exists just from creation. We can clearly see that he exists. So it's no need to go back and forth. You can tell people, I was commanded to obey the Great Commission. And that is what I'm doing. Whether you receive it or not, it's between you and God. It's not me forcing it upon you. It's me obeying what God told me to do. And that's what I'm going to do. And
amen. Amen.
Like amen. 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 So as the reason I asked that question is because the scripture that Minister Tabika read was, it says that he, and what Minister Malkia pointed out, that he'll be with us day in and day after. How is it? What is the wording? Forgive me.
He'll be with us. Hold on. He is with us always.
Always.
Even to the end of age.
To the end of age. So if God is always with us, why are we fearful, or why do we think we need to have all the knowledge? Because the Holy Spirit will speak through us if we are willing to let the Holy Spirit. But a lot of times, I think in our discipleship, in our evangelism, we try to put ourselves into it and our own understanding, our own knowledge, that we then become the mouthpiece that's expressing how we feel rather than what the word of God is saying. And if we are learning the word of God with foundational teaching, as we get here when we come to Bible study, we're being taught. The greatest way to be a disciple is to first be a student.
Absolutely.
The greatest Absolutely. Way to be a disciple is to first be a student so that you can train others to be studious students so that they can go out and teach someone else. That Amen. Is overall, that is really the easiest wording to say what the Great Commission calls us to do when it says to go out and teach. We've got to learn. We have to gain understanding. We have to get a comfortableness. Forgive me for that wording. We have to get an understanding so that we have a place of comfort in it. You know, when we feel like we're not equipped, it's because we're not in the word for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The issue with that being, is if you're not equipped to talk to someone else about their life, what happens when you face a battle in your own? Are you equipped to deal with that? Or do you just quiver into the corner? Because the word says we should not fear. We need not worry. If we trust God and we know God's word says that he is with us all days, he is with us to the end, to the end of age. Forgive me, I'm sorry. I keep wanting to say days, end of age. If he is with us to the end of age, then he's with us through eternity. There's nothing we're going to face that God isn't with us in. So when we go out and try to have a discussion, when we go out and try to disciple or evangelize or speak from a place of apologetics, we are doing so with the blessing and the strength of God behind us and with us and in us and through us. We are simply instruments. We are called to be tools used by God. We're not called to be the replacement to God. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Apostle, do you have anything you want to say right here?
I'm just, you know, thinking about the reasons why we don't evangelize or why we're not being disciples. And, you know, we had fear, embarrassment. What else was it that was said?
The challenge,
because people may question what it is you're saying to them. And the more studious we get in the word, the more knowledge we get, the more our belief increases. And as that increases, the fear of rejection, the fear of being challenged, that decreases. You know, like the first time you're trying to bake a cake, you might be nervous about it, not sure you're going to get everything put in there, not sure it's going to come out tasting fine. And when you make that first cake and it comes out and it's okay, but it's not exactly the way you expected it to be. And then you go back and you try it again and you add a little more something, or you're sure that you read the recipe correctly, and then it comes out great that second time, then you're more confident to go in there and bake that cake again and again and again, because you know you got it down pat now. And that's the same way it is with the word of God. You know, we're not going to learn the whole word of God, you know, in one setting, by no means. No matter how many years we study the word of God, there's still new revelation every time we read the word. But the more you read it, the more confident you are. And I like something that Minister Tabika said, that when we get into those places where there are challenges, you know, even if you don't know the word of God, you believe that it is the word of God, and you are willing to do what he told you. And you say, that's all I know, and that's what I'm going to do. You know, that you would not be persuaded to go anywhere else to change your mind about what the word of God says. And so speak in that confidence as well. And excuse me. And all of you that are on here, I'm looking at all these names on here, and all of you that are on here, y'all have been around church long enough. Y'all, whether it's New Vision or whether it's someplace else, y'all have heard a word enough that more of you ought to be chiming in. You know, that's the freedom that we have here today. More of you should be chiming in, because this is a good place. This is a good topic. You might end up asking yourself, well, am I a disciple by the time you get through with this? Am I truly a disciple, or am I just going to church? I'm through, baby. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. That was good. I'm going to read Matthew 9, verses 35 through 37. And it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
Yes.
So, you know, when we look at that scripture, we think about the multitudes, right? They didn't come out, they didn't come to Jesus because he was giving out something, whatever that something may have been, or they didn't come out because he was a guest preacher, a great speaker. They came out because they saw him healing, you know, diseases. You know, he saw, they saw him laying on them hands. They saw him ministering to people. They saw the miracle signs and wonders. And so, you know, the fact that that is where our focus should be, on the multitudes, thinking of the people who don't know him, right? Those should be that should be our focus. It's almost like we don't know the people personally per se, but it's almost like we should view those people as if they are our family, and give that much attention to their salvation and where their soul will rest at the end. yes, people can be mean and nasty and angry and all that. And I'm sure that when Jesus was out and he was speaking, I can probably I can probably guess that there were people in that in that time when he was speaking that may have been saying negative things to him.
Absolutely.
You know, may have been saying angry words and just spewing hate and all types of stuff towards him. But he didn't stop then and there and say, well, okay, the people don't like me, so I'm just going to stop. He knew what his role was. He knew what God called him to do. He knew what his position was. So he didn't let those things stop him from opening his mouth and doing exactly what he was supposed to do. And that goes for us too. We can't just allow the things that people say or their attitudes towards us to stop what God has commanded us to do. Like I said, like it's not a choice. It's not something that you're just like, oh, let me try this. It's not. It's something that we are commanded to do. It's something that we are commanded to obey. And, you know, I'll use myself for example. I can be an introvert at times. Like I'm a woman of few words at times. And sometimes I can be in moments and it's very awkward because I'm not saying anything. And my old supervisor was like, she was like, yeah, B, because sometimes we, you know, we be in certain situations or like we'll be on, we'll go to meet a specific agency or somebody. And she said, you get weird. Like, you don't even say, you just get quiet and don't say anything. And it's like, and that's sometimes how I feel. Like, I'm just sitting there and I'm quiet and I'm not saying anything. And I can feel myself trying to think of how to engage or how to start a conversation. But then it's the being comfortable with being the introvert will kick in and it'll take over. And I just allow it to. I become comfortable in that moment. And I will allow whoever is there with me to just talk. And I'm comfortable in that moment. And that's the same thing that I do with Mark. Like whenever we're talking, you know, Mark can walk up to somebody and start talking. And I'm telling y'all, I'm like a little kid and I'm like hiding behind him like this, like peeking over his shoulder. Like, okay, he's talking, we're good. And I say nothing. I say nothing. I just stand there and smile, and the people probably be like, oh, she's weird. Because, like, I'm not saying anything. and I have to learn how to get out of that. I have to stop making it about me, because it's not about me. Because what if somebody is waiting to hear my voice and I'm being comfortable being an introvert? And so that I'm asking God to work on me about that, because I don't want to have the word in my mouth and be so comfortable in a place that I don't say anything. And that person was waiting on me to say something. And so that's why I'm saying to you all that this Zoom, if we were in a building, that atmosphere is where we are to be trained and get out of those things. Like, let the flesh go and stop being, stop being comfortable with the flesh, because we're not supposed to adhere to the flesh. We're not supposed to obey our flesh. And a lot of times that fear thing will cause us to obey our flesh. So is there anybody else want to elaborate on that, or have anything to add to it, or anything to say? Hey, yeah, Nikki, you had something to say? Oh, no? Okay.
Okay. I just want to say that's just a very good point that you had, how you could have a word in your mouth, but because of, God gave me this word, pre-existing condition, because of your pre-existing condition, you won't release what God told you to release. And so, That's just awesome. I like how you did that. But I want to say that our evangelism can be in different ways as well. So we know how we see people giving out tracts all the time. And so that's a form of evangelism. And of course, the way using your mouth, as you said, evangelism, but our actions is a mode of evangelism as well, because people are always watching us. They're always listening to us. And if we are, you know, expletive, and I love Jesus, that's a form of evangelism, whether it's good or bad evangelism. And so I just wanted to just add that as well. Sometimes I can have a scowl on my face. And so I was in line somewhere, and this couple came in. They kind of cut through the line and just kind of sat there. And I was like, oh, I know they. And so I was like, fix your face. And the lady kind of gave me the look that I wanted to give her. And I just gave her a softer look. Because we just never know, you know, we never know who we may see on Zoom the next week. We never know who we may see in a church service next week. And so we just have to be mindful that evangelism just isn't just speaking. It's definitely our actions as well.
Amen. Amen. Very good.
Amen.
Very good.
Does anybody else have anything else they want to add? Because this is some good information. Like, I wish to hear from more of you, because I'm sure more of you have instances where, you know, God may have told you to say something to someone, and out of fear, you didn't say it. And don't be condemned about it. Ask God to just help you in those moments to not abide by fear, or don't listen to the fear that's speaking at that moment. Because remember, they are not rejecting you as the person per se. They are rejecting what you're saying, because some people are happy in their sin. Sometimes people are in a place where sin feels very good to them, and they don't want to hear anything that's going to go against what it is that they are doing. So again, you know, you give people grace. Okay. I said what I had to say, and you just move on and don't take it personal. I know it's hard to say, don't take it personal when a person is speaking to you, but as a Christian, as a believer, knowing who your Father is, that's why I'm saying don't take it personal.
Mm-hmm. I think that all points directly to the second of the five that we started to discuss, the five, what discipleship means at its core. And as we talked about, you know, it's a commandment, God's commandment, one of God's commandments is to love thy neighbor. And discipleship is about loving our neighbor. Like, loving people means having compassion for their soul. We're sharing the word of Jesus. We're sharing the good news. We are living out that great commission because we don't want to see somebody die and go to hell when they had another option. We don't want to be the one that didn't take the opportunities and just say, to plant the seed. The scripture, forgive me, I'm not sure. I can't remember the exact scripture. But Paul says, he planted the seed, Apollos water, and God got the increase.
Yes, yes.
So we may plant the seed. Just as Minister Lee said, that interaction, could you imagine if that interaction, that lady and that, or that man and couple that rushed in, that kind of jumped into line and looked back and gave her that look, if they were actually looking to see if someone was going to just respond with negativity, or that positive response, that look that she gave was evangelism that said, wait a minute, there's love in this atmosphere. There's something different here. And it made them shift. It made them go and repent. It made them think different. Our actions can make someone's life change simply by our actions, not necessarily by an interaction and a word that we say, but them witnessing what we do and how we live. Minister Malkia, when she's at work and she's going through things, I'm sure she's had people on her team and she's in a high profile position, and she's had people that I'm sure give her all kind of rebuttals and are looking to say, I thought you were a Christian. You get it all the time. You see people that are looking for a response, but when you respond in love, that compassion is compelling to the soul to look for something different, because they're not going to be receiving the negative attributes that they look for, that they thought the world was going to give them, but they receive something different. And then they're like, wait a minute, what was different about that person? I need to know that difference so I can have that joy, so I can have that peace. And that's what loving our neighbor and having compassion for their souls is about. We show the love, we show this love by telling other people about Jesus. And like I said, telling other people isn't always by our words. A lot of times it's just how we live. So discipleship truly is a reflection of how you live, not only what you have to say.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Any comments or thoughts? We about to start talking like school and start calling people to call them.
I know, honey. I know.
I have a situation to share.
Okay.
So recently, I was in a car with Johari. I guess it was a couple of months ago. And we were on our way home from a Jack and Jill event. And someone was trying to cut us off. And I saw the person coming in, you know, trying to cut us off. But I'm like, I had already left, you know, let two people in front of us. So I'm going to pull up and you're not going to get in front of me. So the person pulled beside us, CJ, the person pulled beside us, and I could hear something. So I rolled down my window because I thought I heard what that person said. That person called me an N-word. And at the time, I was hurt, first of all, because this is not the first time that I've been called the N-word, just in general. But to have my baby in the back hurt, and you could see it all over her face. But instead of me responding back to that person negatively, I said, what did you say? And they told me what they said. And I said, you know what? God bless you. You know, have a wonderful day. And I think that that hurt them worse. Because I did not give them the response that they should have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, because it took everything in me. I know we're Christians, but I also know that we're human. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the response that God wanted me to give them. And so I gave them his response.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then I had to talk to her afterward, and she had tears in her eyes, and because she had never, well, I won't say she had never experienced it, because she'd experienced it in New Jersey as well, but she was younger. But it was very hurtful. But at that moment, it's like, you got to put God first, no matter what, you know, that experience is. And I won't say that I always do that or always have done it, but, you know, if when you lean on God and you ask him for guidance and you obey and you operate in faith, he will take you through storms that you don't think you'll be able to come out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because the old people would have jumped out the car and would have been knocking on the door saying, come on out.
Uh-huh.
But that person is.
Uh-huh.
But God. But
amen.
God.
Amen. Amen. Yes, yes. I know that recently, within this week, in fact, I was talking to another minister and I was expressing my dismay about someone who had treated me very negatively and had said some negative things about me. And I, in my flesh, I'm like, I wish they would just go away. I wish they would leave me alone. I don't care about them. I don't want to see them, da 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 da. That's where I came from. And the minister looked at me and said, so when was the last time you prayed for her? I went, it had been quite a while. It had been quite a while since I had prayed for her with her negative attitude. But I was immediately put in check, immediately repented, immediately even that day prayed for that woman. And, you know, and it caused for a change of heart. When we pray for those who despitefully use us, those that cause us harm and so forth and so on, it's like piling bricks of coal on them for the Father to handle. And we don't have to worry about handling it. And I learned a long time ago, even though I'm telling you, I just did this last week or this week, no, last week. I learned a long time ago that when God makes people repay for what they have done to his children, it is greater than anything that we could have come up with ourselves. When he said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I have learned to take my hands off. In fact, sometimes I think about the person that vengeance is his, that he may take the vengeance on that person. And I start praying, God, have some mercy, okay? Have some mercy on them. And a lot of people don't know that some of the calamities that come against them is because what they have done to us. And some of the calamities that don't come against them is because we prayed and asked God to have mercy on them. We prayed and asked God to have mercy on them. So it is a tricky place. And in this thing as discipleship, you know, when he said for us to go forth and teach what God has commanded, what he has told us, what he has taught us, and what we have learned. And he said, I'll be with you to the end of the earth, to the end of the world. I will be with you. And thinking of that, that takes pressure off of us. It's not our job to see to it that they get converted. That's not our job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But we are to give them the word. We are to give them the word. Minister Tabika said on our radio show Saturday that the young boy that's the cousin to this family, the young boy that passed away, 16 years old, football player, had a heart attack, and bless his heart, he passed away. And, you know, you wonder at that point in time, Father, was he saved? Was he saved? And lo and behold, this baby was saved, had received Jesus as his savior last year. I'm telling you, that makes it so much easier on the family to accept his early demise because he's gone on to be with the Father. Saints of God, and our discipleship, it tells us to teach. We are to tell people and so forth. Are there people around you that you are not sharing the word with because you are embarrassed, you're afraid, you don't want rejection? Are there people doing it? Somebody has got to plant the seed. and somebody has got to water it. And then God is the one that brings the increase. You don't have to worry about that part, but do your part. I would hate to think that there's someone that I know for real in my family that I haven't said something to, you know, that I have relationship with and I didn't say anything to, because they know the old me. And I don't want them to think, you know, I'm trying to be holier than thou and this, that, and the other and so forth and so on. So I don't say anything. No, beloved. Because if we don't, guess what? Their blood is on our hands. Their blood is on our hands. There are many people, as Minister Tabika said, and she and Mark, that people are waiting to hear our voice. There are people that I could preach to all day who will never come to the Lord. And there might be one person in that crowd that their ear gates were listening for the sound of my voice. They were listening for it. And when I spoke, that one person came to the Lord, that one person. The rest of the people walked away, they could have cared less. However, one of you may go and say the exact same thing, and 10 people out of that crowd got saved. It's because God had prepared them to receive what you were saying. Even though we said the same thing, it was the sound of your voice. Don't waste what God has given to you. Be a good disciple. And a disciple is a follower of the one that is teaching them. They're being taught about. You take on characteristics of that person. You know, you're becoming more like him. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we are to be like him. When they see us, they should be seeing Jesus. You know, and so they look like us. People, some of you, listen. Y'all know my word is beloved. Y'all know my word is beloved, okay? If you go in a crowd anywhere and somebody says beloved, one of you say beloved. If anyone in that crowd knows me, they're going to say, she must know Etta Banks. You know, he must know Apostle Banks, because they know that's where it comes from. You know, in my group, that's where it comes from. Beloved. And the other one is, I'm excited. Anytime we hear anybody else anywhere saying, I'm excited, we look at each other. You know, we hear anybody else say, beloved, we look at each other, because that's what your leader says. That's what your leader is teaching. And you begin to pick up some of those characteristics. I pray that all of you see that God has anointed you. He has blessed you. He has equipped you. He never asks you to do anything that he hasn't already equipped you for, or that he isn't equipping you for, but he won't leave you. He will not leave you. So I pray that y'all will go forth and become the disciples of Jesus Christ and do it with expectation and excitement. Praise be unto God.
Amen. Well, Apostle.
Yes, darling.
That sounded like a closeout to me. I don't know what anybody else is thinking at this moment, but when she died, it's nothing to add on top of that. Only one thing I'm gonna say is her ending statement is a prelude to Bible study. So I am going to say to join us on Bible study, because we will be talking about discipleship. And I sent this email out on the 21st of August that we will be teaching using a book called How to Reach Secular People by George G. Hunter III. So if you haven't gotten your book yet, please get your book. It's on Amazon for $14.29. If there is anyone that cannot afford to buy the book, please let me know. Call me or send me an email. Please don't let the fact that you can't afford the book stop you from being a part of Bible study, okay? We want to see everybody in Bible study. This is good training for all of us, because, again, we are to obey the Great Commission. It's not a thing where, it's my choice, I don't want to, type of thing. Now, if that's where you are, then I pray for your heart. That's Amen. All I can say is I pray for your heart. Amen. But Bible study starts at 6:30 with prayer, and then after prayer we go directly into the teaching. So again, that will begin on the 3rd. I believe the 3rd is Wednesday. No, the third is Tuesday, right? I think
yeah. The
fourth is Wednesday. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we'll see you on September the 4th at 6:30. Apostle, extend your hand.
Amen. Well, that's it for discipleship. I pray all of you have checked your spirit and decide, am I a disciple? Am I becoming a disciple? Or I'm walking away from this discipleship. I just want to go to church and hear y'all talk, whatever the case may be. Whatever the choice is yours, the choice truly is yours. And look, I find it easier to be a disciple than it is for me to be a singer. So I think I'm going to go and disciple folks. I'm going to go and disciple folks because the singing thing I cannot do. And I love singing, but you don't want that. So being a disciple is easier for me to do. So I'm going forth in that vein. Amen. Amen. All right. That is the close of our Freedom Sunday. Is back in the hands of Danielle, who was just there and is not there right now. But back in the hands of, pardon?
Communion.
I didn't hear.
Communion.
Okay, did somebody tell me? Yes, they did. They told me I was supposed to be doing communion today. You see, they told me. You hear that? They told me. Okay, beloved. All righty. Look, get your elements. I pray you already have your bread and your juice. Praise be unto God. Get that together. And look, we have been doing communion together for years. And we understand that doing communion, this again is an outward sign of what Jesus said and what he did, how he gave his body for us. He shed his blood for us. He died and then he rose again for us. And in the word, it says, before that, when I think about the Passover meal that he was having with his disciples, and he said, one of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to betray me. And the others, you know, the disciples saying, Lord, is it me? Is it me? And the one who knew it was him had the nerve to say, Lord, is it I? Am I going to deceive you? And Jesus said to him, you said so. You know, I'm not saying who it is, but you're the one that is saying so. And so it went on. And as he said, as I dip my bread here, the one that is going to betray me is going to dip it at the same time. You know something? There are things that happen in our lives that we are told that it's going to happen. And if we had any sense, we would see that that was a forewarning and not do it. Now, Jesus told them, the whole table, when I dip my bread, the one that dips it in there with me, that's the one that's going to betray me. I would have been holding my hand back if I was Judas, you know, trying not to dip it in there to say, no, 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 I don't want them to know it's me. But he did. And the thing is, what God says is going to happen, it's going to happen, saints of God. It is going to happen. He didn't have a choice. And when we look at it in its entirety, we can't even be mad at Judas because he betrayed Christ. That's what let them know who the Messiah was. That's what gave them the ability to put him on the cross. Jesus had to go through everything that was pronounced, that was prophesied, that was going to happen. And Judas played his part. Judas played his part. There are going to be people in our lives, hear me, people in our lives that have done something horrible to us, set us back, caused other people to hate us and so forth and so on. But you know what? It was the catalyst that catapulted us to a place, another level, another dimension. And if they hadn't done that negative thing, we may not have been there. We may not have been there. So Jesus has told us, you know, to do this, to take the communion. We are recognizing what his body went through, the whipping that he went through, the tearing of the hair out of his beard and off of his head, the crown of thorns on his head, and those thorns being pushed into his scalp and forehead and so forth. The 39 whip, you know, lashes on his back, the spear being pierced in his side, the nails in his feet. Man, he suffered for us. He suffered, bled, and died for us. He did that. And when we do communion, he says, when you take this bread and eat, remember, this is my body. Remember what my body suffered and went through so that you don't have to suffer and go through. Drink this cup. This is my shed blood. Do this and do it all in the remembrance of me. Remember what I did for you. Don't ever forget. And he said, as often as you do it, beloved, you don't just have to do it the first Sunday of the month here at church. You can do it every day of the week. You can do it. Do it in your homes. Get the bread, get the juice. If the juice is water, if you don't have the wafers, that the communion wafers, get a piece of bread, but do it. Do the act in remembrance of what Jesus has done for you. And he says, those people who don't do it, those people who don't do it, this is why they're sick. And this is why they die early. Those people that are not remembering what Jesus went through for us. So on today, beloved, I ask you please to take your bread. Let me see here. To take your bread. Let's see. Here. And he says, and as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it. And he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. So take your bread now, saints of God. Eat it. This is the broken body of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. For the remission of sin. So take your cup, please, and drink of it. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Father God, we thank you, we honor you, and we bless you. We thank you for your broken body. We thank you for the shed blood. We thank you because in it, God, we have received healing, our health, our provision, our protection. Lord God, the anointing. We have received salvation. Lord, so much you provided for us as you suffered, bled, and died on the cross at Calvary for us. May we also, Lord God, not only take this bread and eat and the cup and drink, but may we crucify our bodies every single day so that we are to be like you. We thank you for the sacrifice that you have made, and knowing that the sacrifice we make is in no way in the comparison for what you did. You gave it all. You gave it all, Lord God. You gave it all. And we thank you, we honor you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. It was a great topic on today, discipleship. I don't know. I guess today I knew what it meant, but then really listening to what they were saying and describing what discipleship was, it hit totally different. So then it made me look up what is the true meaning of discipleship. And it says the process of learning to love and follow Jesus and becoming more like him and our attitudes and actions. And Malkia displayed that. It also says a journey of intentional decision leading to maturity in your relationship with Jesus so that you become more like him in your attitudes, your focus, and ultimately your behavior. It's complete obedience. It's someone who was surrendered totally to Christ. And so we are also, it says, and to help others become more like Christ. So when you look at it like that, it's just not going out there saying, hey, you want to get saved, come to church. When you look at what those things that I said, like having this discussion on today made me go back, not go back, but go and look to see, because I mean, not really truly studying the word discipleship and what have you.
thinking, you know, you go out, ask people, you know, they want to get saved, what have you, you bring them to church and this, that, and the other. But learning, you know, what the true surrender and obedience is, you're helping others become more like Christ. You know, it is, like I said, it's complete obedience and is giving your life over to Christ that you become ultimately more like him. And we're supposed to be helping others to become more like him, not just get saved, but to become more like Christ. So now I see it totally different. I see it totally differently. So thank you, Minister Garnsis, for the teaching on today and opening up, you know, all of our, you know, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but opening up everything and expounding on things. So I thank you for that. It was a good, it was a good teaching on this morning. Amen. Well, before I do the offering, I just wanted the few announcements that I know of is this Sunday we go to Abba's house on, I know that, Apostle, are you still doing tomorrow or Tuesday as far as the fast, the starting?
I'm saying tomorrow. I'll say tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Well, we know the fast with Abba's house starts on tomorrow, 40 days. And was that it? Bible study starts on Wednesday. So Bible study Wednesday, fast starts tomorrow, Monday. And Abba's house is next Sunday. Yes, Minister Elder Mark.
I'm sorry. Yes, and also, forgive me for not getting it to you. This Thursday on the, the 5th, this Thursday on the 5th, this will be the second time that we'll have the opportunity, but the Baltimore County Faith Initiative Group, which Elder Raymond Henson started with Pastor Tom Toflin, and I now co-chair, we've been doing what's called roll call prayer. So we actually go to the different precincts in Baltimore County and pray over the police before they go out onto their duty shift. So this Thursday, we'll be going to the Dundalk precinct at 2 o'clock. And we'll actually be praying over several of the officers, those available. We've already spoken to the captain and they're in agreement to actually bring us in. We went into, Apostle and I went a few months ago to the Woodlawn precinct to start this endeavor. And we prayed over the officers. It was an awesome time. The turnout was just myself and Apostle, and Gabe was there with us and he prayed as well, which was a blessing. But it's just a blessing to pray over the officers, first responders. And that's just part of our call and great commission to continue to share the love of Christ. So not only are we acknowledging what they do for us, but acknowledging that we as the clergy are standing beside them and keeping them lifted and praying over them. So I say all that to say, if you are available on the 5th at 2 p.m., we will be at the Dundalk precinct. And we're usually there for about 20 to 30 minutes praying for them. So anyone can please join, it'd be greatly appreciated.
And there will be email sent out with the information and the address to the precinct as well. One more announcement. On September the 28th at 1 p.m., that is a Saturday, New Vision will have a cookout. And at that time, we will also be celebrating Apostles' pastoral anniversary at Malkia's house. So that information will also... That information will also be shared in email. So please just make sure that you are keeping an eye out on your email. You will see emails that come from Lady Michelle Stevens as well. So make sure that you are opening up those emails as well, because those are very important emails that are coming from her too. So thank you, Lady Danielle, back in your head.
Okay, so the announcements are Bible fast starts tomorrow, Bible study on Wednesday, Apostle Patterson next Sunday, Apostles anniversary cookout is at Minister Malkia's house on the 28th of this month. So govern yourselves accordingly. Put everything on the calendar. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I am going to go ahead and do our declaration and prayer over the offering. Oh, and also remember that it's September. It's birthday the 1st of September. It's the 1st of September. The 1st of September. And happy birthday to all those September babies. Amen. I don't, other than myself, I don't know who else has a birthday in September.
Happy birthday, Snookums.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, Father God, oh Jesus, you all know where to go. www.newvisionforlife.com. Please go there. If you have not already, given your tithes, your offerings, and be a blessing unto the ministries that are there. God, in your Son Jesus' precious name, Father God, we thank you, Father, in advance. Father, we thank you for the seeds that you have given us, Lord, because you say that you give seed to the sower. So, Father, we thank you for the seeds that you have given us, Father, so that we can go ahead and plant it in good ground, Father God. We thank you, God, that you gave us seed so that we can go ahead and give our tithes and to give our offerings, Father God. We will not keep what you have given to us, because if we do, God, we know that we are heaping and reaping a whole lot of curses over our heads. So, Father, I thank you in advance for even giving us the mind to sow, Father God, to give us the mind to sow, Lord Jesus. And God, as we are sowing, we are believing you, God, for jobs, Lord Jesus. We are believing you for monies to be returned. We're believing you for raises and benefits, God, bonuses, Father God. We're believing you for favorable settlements, Lord Jesus. We're believing you for real estate and inheritance, Father God. And inheritance, and people don't have to die for their inheritance, Lord Jesus. Jesus, the inheritance, you know, without people's death, Father God. We are believing you, Father God, for checks in our hands, divine health and healing, God. We are thanking you and believing you, God, for family members and friends and even our enemies saved, God. We are thanking you for gifts and surprises and turning around and finding money, Father God, finding blessings upon blessings upon blessings, God. We are thanking you, God, for our debts to be paid off, Father God, and for our expenses to decrease, Father God. We are thanking you in advance for blessings and increase. Lord, we thank you for where you are planting us, Father God, for where our building is, Father, for our tithes and offerings, God, will go to the building, Lord. So we thank you, God, so that we will have a building to help to disciple those people, Lord Jesus, and bring them into a place, Father God, to be discipled. God, we thank you, Lord, for meeting all of our needs. God, we know that money answers all things, Father God. We don't give because we are expecting, you know, those things to be, you know, paid off or whatever. But God, we are giving to the kingdom, God, because we want to enhance your kingdom, God. But we do know that money answers all things. So if all of our stuff is taken care of, the more we can give into your kingdom. So God, we thank you for meeting all of our needs and giving us more than enough, God, so that we can have more than enough to promote the gospel of Jesus the Christ. We will never cease to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Your hands, Minister Kyle.